Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We're in Psalm 16 and 6, and it says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Ephesians 1, 18, 19. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power." I'm going to talk to you this morning on this subject: lines, or you can call it rightful heirs. Let's all pray right now. Jesus, I ask God that you would let understanding be open, God. Let my mouth communicate it correctly, God. Let our hearts be submitted to your cause. Let it be submitted to your will, to your plan, God. We need you, Jesus. We need the anointing of your Spirit. God, we need your favor upon us. God, we ask that you would help us get our minds in the right place. Get our hearts in the right place, God, and help us to be absolutely determined that we would follow after your plan. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated this morning. Lines. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. How many can say that they're proud of their heritage? Let's just take this from like an earthly perspective. Like your family, your bloodline, or whatever. Have anyone gone to Ancestry.com or 23andMe? I don't know what the other ones are. Anyone signed up for any of that stuff, got it as a gift, and spit on a piece of paper or whatever they ask you to do? Do I even want to know? Or what do they ask you to do on that? Yeah. And you send this thing in and they tell you, "I'm afraid to do that because I'm afraid it's going to come back and say I'm not Mexican." And then I'm going to have an existential crisis on my hands. So I pay the $100 to get my heart broken. But if you've done that, maybe you think, "Oh, you know, I came from whatever family in Scotland that had a big estate or something." I hear these people telling me these stories and I forget them immediately because, like, oh, yeah, that's neat. Yeah, my great, 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 great grandfather. Okay. It's not that I'm not interested, it's just so far away and it's so big. Yeah. And I've heard really similar stories from a bunch of different people. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, your great, great grandfather. But it's cool. We're fascinated with that kind of stuff, right? I am. And one day I'll get the courage to sign up for the thing. So my birthday's coming up in September. So just, you give me the thing. And if someone gets me as a gift, I'll actually spit on the piece of paper. Or how many, even if you're not proud of your earthly heritage, maybe you didn't have a good family name. Maybe around town, your family name was kind of one that was infamous rather than famous. We can all say that we're proud of our spiritual heritage. Because we've been given a gift. We've been given a name that's above all other names. And we have this desire in us to have something of our own. And it's not pure selfishness. It's something that God put in us. It's that desire, as Peter said, to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And even if we look at the concept of the promised land, we talk about Abraham, everywhere where you put your foot, then that's, we're going to claim it as yours. And so there's this kind of a scriptural principle of us, we're claiming the land. And that's why I talked to you a couple months ago about sharecroppers. Some of you guys might have been here. Maybe if you were here, you probably totally forgot that. At one point, we had an axe handle out here. Justin took that from me, and so I don't have the axe handle anymore. So I didn't ask him to bring it back. Sharecroppers is what we talked about, having something of our own. I don't want to just harvest on someone else's land. I want to have a plot of land that's my own. And so we come to this verse in Psalm 16 and 6. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Lions. There's some things I hate about lions. And the worst place to be in line is at Target. It does not matter how many registers are open. It doesn't matter what line I choose. I get the register that ends up with the blinking light. No one else has experienced this, apparently. I'm like, oh, that line's short. I'm going to jump in. There's seven choices. It's busy. It's a Saturday morning. I'm going to jump in this line. There's only two people in this line. You get through it. Someone's got coupons, man. Guaranteed, man. Someone's got shoes that are two different sizes in the box. You got someone that changed their mind about something. Someone, their debit card won't go through. And you're in Target, and the light is blinking. And I'm trying to hold my patience as I'm in line at Target because I didn't bother to grab a cart. Because I don't do that. I know. You walk right by the carts. And you're like, I got this. I'm only grabbing one thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. So now you've got armloads of stuff. You've got this. You've got tissues here. You've got frozen chicken piling up. And you've got something the kids begged you for, and it's falling out. It's on your shoulders. And the line is blinking. And isn't it refreshing that when you have that extra checker that goes to the empty check stand, it starts taking new people, and you're trying to give them the look? Like, hey, I was here. Whoever's next in line, that's my favorite. Whoever's next in line, come up. We're open on 8. Whoever's next in line, and everyone's like, I don't want to be rude. But in my estimation, I think I was next, technically. If you do the counting across the line. All to get a jug of 128 Tide Pods. Because who doesn't love doing laundry? And I'm aligned at Target. There's a difference between waiting and anticipation. Because you guys are Portlanders. You'll stand in line at Screen Door. You'll stand in line at Salt and Straw. Because you know what's coming. All of a sudden, this is a treat. Hey, we're all here. Everyone's here. They're excited to be here. I'm excited about my ice cream. I'm going to eat some walnut espresso lavender Earl Grey. It's delicious. You've had that one too? Here's the truth. I can't have premium ice cream. Totally makes me sick, man. There's something that doesn't agree with me. And so I have no idea. And I'm waiting in line at Salt and Straw. But I know almost everyone from here, they do that. And so I'll go there and I'll stand with other people. I'll get the sorbet, which is like the boringest Salt and Straw flavor. I'm going to get the raspberry sorbet. It doesn't have any dairy in it. Screen Door, man, I want that fried chicken, the chicken and waffles. And a lot of times we get caught in a situation where you're waiting. We'll explain it later. People don't understand. We'll explain it later. Chicken and waffles, go there. Go there, stand in line, it's great. Yeah. And you can be in line with the Tide Pods at Target, or you can be in line. Yeah, I'm about to get ice cream. It's amazing. I can't wait, but I will wait. I'll wait in this line. There's an anticipation that can happen that's different than the waiting where you're just like slogging through it. Ugh. But no, I'm next in line for what God has for me. I'm in line for my miracle because we are the children of faith. We don't have time to really read all of Galatians 3, but it talks about the blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3 talks about the idea that God promised to Abraham that all nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That promise was given 430 years before the law. The promise didn't come by obedience to the Jewish moral code because it hadn't been written yet. And so we have been called by our own unique law, the law of faith. We are those heirs. That's us. So rather than trying to comply to a list of rules, rather than us trying to prove our worth to God, or try and maybe somehow assimilate into the Jewish religion, or try to go on Ancestry.com and try and prove we have 1/128th of Jewish blood in our body so that we can say, hey, I'm legitimate and I have a right to the inheritance God has called me to. God just made it clear when Paul wrote, oh no, but 430 years before the law was ever even written, God promised that he would give his inheritance to offspring. And he even goes so far to say, he said offspring, not offsprings. Offspring as in one, the man Christ Jesus. And through him, because he became a curse for us by his death on Calvary, he took away the curse of sin in our lives and gave us our right to our inheritance. Wow, Paul, you took that way deeper than I was even thinking when I got started reading Galatians 3. We're those heirs. That's us. So we have every reason to have high expectations. And let me tell you why in Romans 8 and 15. I love this. This is personal to me and my family. Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You haven't received bondage, but you've received adoption. Right about there, you can cue the shout organ up. I've been adopted. I am not bound. I'm adopted. I've been called into the family. Oh, but it gets better. It gets better. There's another shout verse. Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now you can get the man on the one-hand keyboard action doing the shout. Because I can feel it in my spirit. There's something inside of me that bears witness that I have been called a child of God. There's no doubt in my mind. I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet. I feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Oh, and then we get to Romans 8 and 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am receiving the same inheritance that Jesus received. Oh, I'm feeling that. This will be that we suffer with him, then we even go score fight together. Okay, we're skipping. That is, wait, what? What? Oh, man, Paul, I didn't want to hear that part. I don't want to hear that part. Oh, man, you have got the same inheritance that Jesus Christ has brought us. Doesn't that make you want to shout? If you suffer with him, so that you can receive the glory. Waiting in line is not at all enjoyable. But let's flip that for a minute. There's ridicule that you may have to endure. There's pleasures of sin for a season that you may have to forego. Only one person the Bible didn't have to work for, didn't have to wait for his inheritance, and that was the prodigal son. And I don't think you want to be anything like him. If you are, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. And that's where I really want to bring you to this morning. How to be a rightful heir. Let's jump back to Psalm 16 and 6, our text. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. We're proud of our spiritual heritage, but our society has taught us that boundaries are negative things. Our heritage, our inheritance that God has given us includes definite boundaries. The psalmist here calls them pleasant. Now, I work in an industry where you need to know the exact location of things. I work in the cell tower industry. I'm a drafter. I draw plans. And so we have to know exactly where the property line is. We need to know exactly where the tower line is going, the tower is going, where the power lines are going, where the fiber lines are going so that we can all meet at the same point. We need to know the coordinates on the plans and the, we used to call them northings and eastings, I guess, lats and longs. We got to know exactly what that is to the degree, the minute, and the second. It has to all be out there on the plans. We have to place it correctly. And so what do we do when we need to know where everything is? Who do you call? Does anyone, I don't know if anyone works in, you call the surveyor. You call the surveyor. And they call, they come and they show you exactly where those lines are. Now, the humorous thing about this is we've actually made an industry out of some of these exact things in our world. Anyone ever been to a place called Four Corners? Four Corners is the point that Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico meet. Because those are all square-shaped states. Now, we came really quick, really close last summer, but we didn't quite make it there. So we're talking about, if you can envision on your, if you took geography class in school, you can envision in your mind kind of that southwest area of the country. There's Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. And they have this big plate in the ground that shows like a T, a cross, I guess, and the point where those four states meet. But it's not. It's 1,800 feet off. It's 1/3 of a mile off from where the true location is. There's another one, the Ecuador Equator, called La Mitad del Mundo. Shows where the northern and southern hemispheres are divided. The thing is, they built that a bit ago. You know, I've seen pictures. I have people, they went on like a youth mission trip or something, and they went to Ecuador. And one of the things they did is they got the picture at the Ecuador Equator. That's why Ecuador is called Ecuador, because it means equator. And they're there at this big, like, Taos thing that shows, and they're all there. They got the, you know, standing. I mean, the north and the south at the same time. And they all got these pictures. Yeah, GPS was invented after they built that. It's 790 feet off. The real line is located like in some kind of meat market that's down the road. And believe me, they're making a tourist attraction out of that too. They took some yellow paint and they drew a line. The government's all mad at them. Steal our money. How about this one? This is the one I was taught in school when I was a kid. The Prime Meridian. It is the center of Greenwich Mean Time. You guys ever remember Greenwich? They don't even use that term anymore. Greenwich Mean Time, where the prime meridian, that's where the time zones get all divided up. That's like 0.0 or something, I guess. I can't remember. It's on the prime meridian, a very important longitude. Latitude or longitude? Longitude. Longitude. It's vertical. It's very important longitude, baseline for global time zones. At the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England. They built this big thing. It's 300 feet off. The actual prime meridian. Making it like at a Dairy Queen. That's a block over. Easy to view lines as imperfect constructs of man. But even still, God has lines. Look at what God said in the following verses after our text in Psalm 16 and 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. God is my counsel. In the middle of the night, my heart instructs me. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So I keep God in front of me to keep me from fear and from going astray. We're going to Romans 2 and 4, just the second half of that verse from the Amplified Version. It says, are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance? That is to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, and seek his purpose for your life. His riches lead you to repentance. An old Christian philosopher named G.K. Chesterton gives the observation that those in the present usually think people of the previous generation were bumbling idiots that constructed walls and fences everywhere they wanted to with no reason at all. There's just fences and walls everywhere. We put up these boundaries, and we weren't even thinking. The current generation would tear down those fences without any effort to understand why they were put there in the first place. Now, I've built fences before. It's not fun. Someone did that on purpose. There was a reason why they actually did that. And so when you see a fence in your life, when you see a wall, when you see a boundary in your life, before you're eager to tear it down, maybe you should ask around. Maybe you should think in a second time in your mind, why was that put there? There's reasons why. And I think one of the ones that we don't want to ignore is that the fence isn't just there to keep you in. It's there to keep so many things out. We're going to Exodus 32. That's another one where you could read the whole chapter. We're not going to do that. Joshua and Moses were headed down the mountain from receiving the Ten Commandments in this glorious encounter with the Spirit of God. And they've got the tablets with the Ten Commandments, and they're both walking down the mountain. They've been gone for weeks now. And Joshua says he hears the sound of war in the camp. Moses says he hears singing. And so there they are. They've had this amazing mountaintop encounter with God, and it's been days and days and days. And what had happened was the children of Israel, they got tired of waiting. They thought maybe something terrible had happened to Moses up on the mountain, that he was never going to come back. And so they made a plan that they are going to take, and they're going to make a golden statue that's fashioned more like the gods that they worshiped when they were in captivity back in Egypt, because we're tired of waiting, because we're tired of trying to see through the plan that God had for our promise. And so while they're up there and they're hearing from God, we've got people that are down at the bottom of the mountain and saying, you know, we're just going to make this thing. We're going to put together this statue. We're going to worship that. And that's going to be the plan for our lives. And so Joshua was actually kind of right. We see it in Exodus 32 and 26. Exodus 32, 26 says this. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. So Joshua was actually kind of right. There was a sound of war in a sense, because it was the sound of people choosing sides. Scripture tells us later in Joshua's life, he had to remove his shoes because he saw a warrior that suddenly came into his presence. And really what it was is what we call, biblically, we'd call a theophany. It was God that was fashioned to look like a man, look like a warrior. And Joshua said, whose side are you on? And the warrior said, no one's. And Joshua took off his shoes and he humbled himself before God because he wanted to make sure that he was on the right side. So choose your side wisely. During the Civil War, one of President Lincoln's advisors was talking with him, was talking with the president, and he mentioned to him that he was grateful that God was on the Union side. And President Lincoln looked back to him and he said, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. Amen. Amen. The same word for boundary in Psalm 16 also means sorrows, cords, ropes, bands, pangs, destruction. And a lot of times we can see that thing as sorrowful in our lives. We can see that those friends that you had to give up, sometimes that's hard. God's asking you to give up addiction. You feel that. God, it's like he's taking it. He's deconstructing your life. He's tearing down some things so that he can build the boundaries in the proper place. You built them over here. God is tearing those things down. Oh, these walls, those things where my heart was stone cold, where I couldn't show any emotion, where I was stubborn, where I was rebellious. God said, no, I'm tearing down those walls, and I'm rebuilding them right over here. This is my boundary. Choose your side. And so a lot of times we go through that pain where God says, don't do that. Stay away from there. If you've been baptized, you received the Spirit of God, and you heard him talking, you've heard him whisper in your heart and say, no, you need to stop. You need to kill that habit in your life. You need to break that down. That's an attitude that's not like me. And that's where we get sometimes. I feel that pain. He's drawing lines. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's the New King James Version. How easy it is to focus on the things we can't have beyond the boundary, instead of remembering that what's inside the boundary is ours. That's our inheritance. Oh, and we talk about it in Thrive class all the time. This is how it goes. Is you kneel at the altar that first time when you surrender to God and you say, God, I want to be free. I want to be free from my hatred. I want to be free from my addictions. I want to be free from my lust. I want to be free from my attitude. I want to be free from my brokenness. I want to be free. And then time goes by and you're like, well, actually, I kind of like my attitude. I kind of like my stubbornness. I kind of like, you know, and you forget that that's exactly the thing that you wanted God to deliver you from in the first place. You wanted him to draw that line. So if you're going to step into his inheritance, if you're going to go to the place where God wants you to go, you have to do it within the lines. And while the world can't decide what gender they are, and while the world can't figure out which addictions are acceptable and which are not, while your coworkers and your family struggle to show consistency, they struggle to show conviction, they struggle to show true love, loyalty, morality, we've been given the gift of lines.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
So God, draw the line on me. Because I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance more than I want my attitude. I want my inheritance more than I want my addictions. I want my inheritance more than I want my sin. I want my inheritance more than I want those bad friends that are tearing me up. God, I need it. If we could all stand. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. In the Old Testament, we read about the Levites. They were set aside for the Lord's service. Back then, they set the priesthood line that belongs. Those are the first fruits of the people. These belong to the Lord. We read in 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We all want to be that chosen generation. That's where we can shout on that. I want to be that chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. We are the called people of God. We have the anointing of God on our lives. But let's not ignore in this verse that if we want to be chosen, we want to be royal, we have to be a holy nation. That's what God is looking for. I don't want to get so caught up in wanting to align myself with God's blessings, with God's promises, with God's inheritance, that I forget the things that he's asking of me, that there are boundaries to it. I'm going to step in. I'm not going to step outside the lines. I am going to continue to follow after the voice of the Spirit. I'm going to continue to follow after the things that I read in the Bible, the things that have been preached, the conviction that's stirring my heart. I've got to get it right. I've got to get it straight. Just one more verse. Back to Ephesians 1 and 18. We actually read this earlier. We're going to just take a little closer look at this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I don't want to be so wrapped up trying to achieve my inheritance that I forget that I'm his inheritance. That's what the scripture is telling us, that we're his, that this promise is his. This is dedicated to him. It's holy unto him. How many want to be his this morning? If you could come, come on up. We're going to pray. We're going to dedicate. We're going to reconsecrate ourselves to God. I know a lot of you already have the Holy Ghost. A lot of you already have a relationship with God. If you don't, then now is your time to try and develop that, to try and start that for the first time. But I have got to be holy. I have got to fall within the lines. There are things in my life still, even after 30 years, I still got to get straight. I still got to get right with God. I still got to surrender my will. I still got to lay down that habit. I still got to check my attitude. God, help me to fall within the lines. God, I want to get my inheritance. I want to do it right, Jesus. I want to do it right, Jesus.